In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Jesus Christ is still on the throne. He hears and answers prayer. He is with us, and not only with us, but the Lord is in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Yesterday we finished the Acts of the Apostles, but you really never finish it. But today I'm going to just go over some of the things that we've stressed in the Acts of the Apostles. You know that the Acts of the Apostles has 28 chapters. We are living in the 29th chapters. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit falls upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and throughout all the ends of the earth. So let's look at Acts 1. In my former thesis, that's Luke's Gospel, O Theophilus, which means lover of God, talking to you, all that Jesus began to do, and he continues to do through the power of the Holy Spirit. He continues to do it. All Jesus began to do and to teach, began. That means that there's much more in store, and we see that in the Acts of the Apostles. The fifth verse of the first chapter, for John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. We are in need of that wonderful baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is not for salvation, but it is for ministry. When God baptizes us in the Holy Spirit, things begin to happen. The scriptures come alive. People's lives get changed, and we start to minister. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and throughout the utter ends of the earth. I said the whole of the Acts of the Apostles can be summarized by Acts 1:8. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. The whole of Acts is all about the gift of the Spirit being given to people, And it's wonderful, because without the gift of the Spirit, we can't do very much. We can just have programs, and programs don't work. They come and they go unless they are empowered by the gift of the Holy Spirit. We saw that after the ascension of Jesus, they're in the upper room, and the people that they are with, very interesting people. Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew and James the son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot. Now, Matthew at one time worked for Rome, and he was a tax collector. Simon the Zealot hated the Romans and hated more Jews that were part of the Roman system. And here we have them together in one accord with Mary, the mother of Jesus. Something has happened in Matthew and in Simon the Zealot. They're not at each other's throats, but God has given them peace with each other. And it says in the 14th verse, it's very beautiful, all these continued with one accord in prayer and supplication, and the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brethren. So they all continued in one accord, one heart and one mind in supplication. What are they praying for? They're praying for the gift of the Holy Spirit. They're praying that the Spirit of God would come in power. How much we need the Spirit of God in power. There is no revival without the presence of the Holy Spirit that comes in power. Chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were in one accord, again, one accord, one heart, one mind, and in one place. And then suddenly there was a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind that filled the house, and they were all where they were all sitting. And there appeared over them cloven tongues like a fire that sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages. So we see that not only is there fire, but there's wind. And when you have wind and fire, you know things spread. How much they needed this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. How much they were in need of this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That they start speaking in other languages and prophesying. You know, this whole thing of the Spirit is so necessary. This wonderful part of Scripture that Jesus promised to give us the Holy Spirit. We are in need of the Holy Spirit. And who, if we look at John's Gospel after the resurrection, they locked the doors because there were fear of the Jewish people that they might be next. But you know what? When the Holy Spirit comes upon them in Pentecost, in Pentecostal power, the doors are open and Peter takes his place and begins to say, "This Jesus, whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Messiah." And he comes to tell them that it is the fulfillment of the prophetic word that Joel spoke. "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord comes. And it shall come to pass that whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." What's his name? Whoever shall call upon the name of Jesus shall be saved. There is no getting to the Father except we go through Jesus Christ. One way to the Father is through Jesus Christ. So we see that Pentecost is happening, and things are going to happen when Pentecost happens, because as a result of Peter's sermon, verse 41 in chapter 2, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized that same day, and there were 3,000 men that were baptized that day. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and fellowship and the breaking of bread," that's the Eucharist, "and prayers. And fear came upon every soul, with many wonders and signs were done by the apostles." These wonders and signs should be done by us. I told you there are 28 chapters in Acts of the Apostles. We are living in the 29th chapter, that God is pouring out his Spirit upon us and things should be happening. "And all that believed were together, and they had all things in common, and sold their possession and goods, and parted them to all men according to the need. And they continually prayed in the temple, breaking bread," Eucharist, "from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. They were praising God and found favor with people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who would be saved." So we see that with the Holy Spirit comes an increase in the church. An increase in the church. I tell you, when God is doing something, the people find out about it. You don't even have to advertise it. When God is doing something by the power of the Spirit, the people find out about it and they come because they're in need. Even when we saw in Milton the window of the Blessed Mother, it was filled with people at the beginning because people needed a touch from God. And we were there preaching the gospel. We brought the crucified Jesus with us, the cross and the crucifix, and we prayed, proclaimed the death and resurrection of Jesus, that people would give their life to Jesus. And you know, that picture on the window is still there. It's it's there. People say, well, you know, how do you know it's the Blessed Mother? I said, well, I know it's not Mickey Mouse. It's not Mickey Mouse. It's not Pluto. It's not Snow White. It's Mary holding the child. You might say, do you really believe that? I do, because I saw people's lives changed as a result of that window, because we preached the gospel to them. That's the need, that when things are happening, you need to preach the gospel, that Jesus Christ has died for our sins, that he was buried and rose from the dead. Now, the third chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, we have the lame man sitting by the beautiful gate. This was his place, and he was asking for money, asking for alms as people entered the temple. And when Peter and John were about to go into the temple, they were asked to give him money. And Peter fastened his eyes upon the lame man, and John said, "Look at us." Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I have not, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, get up and walk." And the lame man started jumping and leaping and praising God. And this is going to be the beginning of the great miracles that the apostles are doing, but the beginning of their persecution, because it's done in the name of Jesus Christ. They say, if this day we are being examined for a good deed done to an impotent man, by what means he was made whole, be it made known to all and all the people of Israel that it was the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. Even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. And there is salvation in no other name but in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I tell you, then the apostles are threatened and they're released, and they pray for boldness, and they pray for boldness. They're threatened because they're saying, you can't preach in the name of Jesus anymore. They said, we cannot but preach in the name of Jesus. We cannot but preach in the name of Jesus. Then the scripture says that the high priest looks at these people. They were just ordinary men. Oh no, they're not ordinary. They're men filled with the Holy Spirit, doing the wonders of God, preaching the gospel that Jesus the Lord has died for our sins and been raised from the dead. Hallelujah. And that he pours out his Spirit upon all flesh. When the people were threatened, the disciples were threatened, they prayed, "Lord, behold their threats, and grant unto your servants that they would speak the word of God with all boldness, and stretching forth your hand to heal with great signs and wonders and miracles in the name of your holy Son, Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God in boldness. The place was shook. It shook. It wasn't an earthquake. It was the glory of God. It was the glory of God. Then we're going to go to the sixth chapter, Stephen being arrested after he proclaims the whole experience of salvation history, that the glory of God appeared to Abraham, that the glory of God appeared to the patriarch Joseph in Egypt, that God was with him even though he was being persecuted, that the glory of God was with Moses and he led the people out of Egypt into the promised land. And Joseph called his father Jacob to him. And it's all the whole salvation history of Judaism, and that it is topped with the coming of the Messiah. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. And there is salvation in no other name. When they heard these things about Jesus, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed their teeth. But being full of the Holy Spirit and looking into heaven, Stephen saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." And when they cried out with one voice, they stopped their ears, and they ran with him in one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. They killed him. because he said he saw Jesus at the right hand of the Father. And what does it say? And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And Lord, lay not this sin in their charge. And he said this and fell asleep. So we see that Stephen is the person who brings conversion to Saul. And that goes to the ninth chapter of Acts of the Apostles. But before we do that, we want to look at the gospel being preached. That the people that were women that were without husbands, widows, were saying that the Jewish widows were getting more food than the Gentile widows. So what did the apostles do? They took seven men filled with the Holy Spirit, and they ordained them to give out food for the widows that were Jewish and Greek. And they were all Greek men that were ordained. But then we see Philip going down, and he sees the Ethiopian eunuch, and I say, who's giving out bread? No more. Philip received the Holy Spirit. He's preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus. And he saw a woman, a man, and he baptized him, and he was from Ethiopia. He was an Ethiopian eunuch. And guess what happens? The Ethiopian eunuch goes back to Ethiopia and proclaims the word of God. We remember that the Ethiopian eunuch was reading from Isaiah 53, that like a lamb led to the slaughter, like a sheep before his shearers, he opened not his mouth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, whom does the prophet speak of, himself or someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth and began the same scripture and preached to him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What does it hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may be baptized. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. And what do you think the eunuch is going to do? He's going back to Ethiopia. And who do you think he's going to proclaim? He's going to proclaim Jesus of Nazareth. That's real stuff. The ninth chapter is the conversion of Saul. Saul was persecuting the Christians. Why? Because the scripture in Deuteronomy says, cursed is the man who dies upon a cross. So Saul was getting letters to put them in jail and even to kill them, the believers in the Lord. But the Lord appeared to Saul, and the Spirit of God came upon him, and he saw the risen Lord, and the risen Lord said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And Saul said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you persecute. It is hard for you to kick against the goad. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what would you have me do? And the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told you what you must do. And what happens? There was a certain man named Ananias, and he was told in prayer to go to Straight Street where Saul was, and he was to lay his hands upon his head, and he would become filled with sight again. Remember, he lost his sight for 3 days, and he was fasting 3 days. And so Ananias says, Lord, I have heard many things about this man, how much evil he hath done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he is, has power from the chief priests to bind all that call upon the name of Jesus. But the Lord said to Ananias, go your way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how many great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And the suffering wasn't arthritis, it was persecution. It was persecution. And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and putting his hands on Saul, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto you on the way, has come and has sent me that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. You see? That filling with the Holy Spirit is so important. And immediately there fell from his eyes, as it were, scales, and he received sight and arose and was baptized. Oh, as he was baptized, the Spirit of God came upon Saul. And what does Saul start doing? He becomes Paul. He starts preaching the Word of God. He goes first to the Jew, and then when they reject him, you know what happens? He goes to the Gentiles. We look at the Gentile conversion in chapter 10 of the Acts of the Apostles. Peter was on top of a roof, and he was praying, and he had a vision of unclean animals, animals that were not kosher, and the Lord said to him, take and eat. And Peter said, I rebuke that. I've never eaten anything unclean. And the vision came three times. And Peter said, I will eat. I will eat. And he said, I'm going to send you to Simon the tanner, whose house is by the seaside, and he shall tell you what you ought to do. And when the angel that spoke unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier with them, and they waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. And on the morrow, on the next day, as they went their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up to a housetop to pray. It was the sixth hour, the hour of prayer. And he became very hungry, and he would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and unclean animals. And the Lord said, take and eat. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter said, never, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is uncommon or unkosher. And the voice came again unto him a second time, what God has cleansed, you shall not call common. This was done three times, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. And while Peter doubted in himself what this vision meant, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius' house had made inquiry at Simon's house, and stood before the gate, and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, was lodged there. And Peter thought the vision in the Spirit, said unto him, behold, men seek thee. So what happens? Peter goes to Cornelius' house in Caesarea, and he preaches the gospel, hallelujah, and what begins to happen? What begins to happen? They start speaking in tongues and start prophesying. While Peter yet spake these words, what words? That Jesus Christ is Lord, that Jesus Christ died for our sins, that Jesus Christ was buried, that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. What happens? While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all of them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, why, as many came with Peter, because that the Gentiles also received the gift of the Holy Spirit. For they heard them speaking with tongues and magnifying God. And you cannot forbid water baptism for them. Why? Because they're already filled with the Holy Spirit. That was the beginning of the Gentile revival. And it had to happen with Peter, because Peter was the leader. Peter was the Bishop of Rome. He becomes the Bishop of Rome. We call him the first Pope. So what do we see? We see that in the Acts of the Apostles, everything that Jesus began to do in the Gospels, now he's doing more through the power of the Holy Spirit and through the power of the apostles as they received the Holy Spirit. I want to say that this power of the Spirit was given to us at confirmation, and it needs to be released in our hearts so that we would be able to do the things that Peter did, that John did, that James did, that the apostles did. Jesus said, "You shall lay hands upon the sick, and they shall be healed." Jesus meant what he said and said what he meant. I'm telling you, we are living in Acts 29, where the Spirit of God comes upon us to do the very things that happened in the Gospels and that happen in the Acts of the Apostles. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. It would be a very good thing if you opened your Bible to the Acts of the Apostles and read the first 10 chapters that we went over today. And it will bring light to you, because it is the Scripture, and the Holy Spirit enlightens us as we read. May Jesus Christ be praised, glorified, and honored. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.